Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, Merry World Juniors. I'm two coffees in today as I try to be just like you. But, you know, this is the best time of year. We're so excited. I'm up to my ears in World Junior preview work. I know you are as well. But it's worth it for what's to come here in Ottawa in a couple, in 6 days?
Six days, yeah. We're looking forward to it, Adam. No doubt about it. I'm all coffeeed up, too. I'm on my third cup right now, raring to go. We have a great guest today. Chris Peters of Flow Hockey is going to join us to discuss World Juniors, so that's going to be fantastic. And we're going to Ottawa, right? Right, Adam? So the last time the World Juniors was in Ottawa was 2009. Canada beat Sweden 5-1 in the final to take home gold. That Canadian team, John Tavares, PK Subban, Jordan Eberle. Eberle actually scored with 5.4 seconds left in regulation to tie Russia. Remember that one in the semifinals?
I was sitting in the press level to this day. To this day, I've covered the NHL since 2002. To this day, I've never heard a louder building than Canadian Tire Center when Jordan Eberle scored to salvage the drive for five straight gold medals. You could feel the entire nation exhale.
They beat a Sweden team, Adam, right? Victor Hedman, Erik Karlsson. I mean, this is what the World Juniors is about. And at that time, Hedman, Tavares, Subban, Karlsson, yes, we all knew that they were top guys, going to be top prospects. But what were they going to be like in the NHL? Now we know. And this is what it's like. And this is going to be a good one. There are some high-caliber youngsters competing in this 25 event, Adam. It's going to be fun. The Americans are the defending champ, looking to win back-to-back for the first time. Canada kind of wants to avenge the disappointing fifth-place finish last year in Sweden. Sweden's a deep team. They've only won two gold medals in their history, which is kind of amazing when you think of the talented rosters that they've brought over to World Juniors. Finland has three gold medals, should pose maybe some problems for the U.S. and Canada in that Group A field. So a lot to look forward to, Adam, no doubt about it.
Absolutely, and we're going to get to all of that with our great guest today, Flow Hockey draft expert Chris Peters. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Well, Adam, it's great to be with you. Thank you for calling me an expert. I don't know if I'm worthy of the title. I'm just trying to be wrong less. But yes, I'm excited to be here. Great to talk with you guys. I mean, obviously, it's the most fun time of the year. So what better way to spend the holidays than with the two of you guys?
That is fantastic, CP. We are so happy to have you on. Thanks as always. Chris, some pretty formidable rosters this year, particularly for Canada, Sweden, the U.S. Looking at the U.S. entry, though, what type of impact do you think James Hagans will have? And looking at the rosters and being at select camp, we saw him, you know, playing beside Perreault and Leonard. Would you like to see that remain that way, at least for the start of the tournament? Or would you rather maybe see Hagans with Perreault and Stiga to kind of spread it out a bit?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because, you know, to answer the first part, just in terms of what the impact that Hagans is going to have, he doesn't really have a choice. He's got to make a huge impact because he is going to probably be the number one center for this team. He's going to have to play significant minutes. He's going to be on the top power play. He's going to be relied upon to score. And, you know, he's been able to prove that already in college. He had a slightly, I guess, maybe a slower start than maybe some expected at the very beginning of the season, but he's ramped it up. And what has coincided with him ramping it up, playing with Ryan Leonard and Gabe Perreault. And so, you know, I think the thing is that USA can be concerned about, hey, if that line gets stopped, if somebody is successfully shutting that line down, what do we have next? That's got to be the question. And so I still think that that's a trio that I don't think there's a team or a group that can shut them down. However, there's always the chance that, you know, Canada trots out, you know, we saw Cole Beaudoin do it last year at the World Under 18s with Hagans. We saw certainly Jet Luchenko get in on that mix as well. Both of them are on the team in Canada, probably largely because of that. So the question you pose about spreading out the offense is a good one because you kind of have to see, okay, well, that might not work if we go with that group. I think USA center depth and particularly high-end offensive centers, they're not in great supply. Like I think Danny Nelson and Oliver Moore are really good down the middle, but they also are not as offensively gifted as some of these other players, you know, like a Higgins, which is why you have to rely on it. So I think you stack the first line, you keep the chemistry intact. Those guys have been playing some of their best hockey. You dare teams to stop you, and then you really put the pressure on guys like Trevor Connolly, Cole Iserman, Oliver Moore as well, you know, Teddy Stiga, who you mentioned. Find secondary scoring. And it's going to be incumbent upon them to do it because there is always that off chance that the top line's not going as well as they were last year. Higgins, or sorry, Leonard, Smith, and Perreault didn't really ramp it up until the end of the tournament. They did not have a great first half of the World Juniors, and then they were awesome in the gold medal game and awesome in the medal round. So make sure that you guys are finding that secondary scoring. And so that's going to be the challenge, but all things considered, James Higgins is one of the most important players for Team USA. They need him to be good. I think they expect him to be good, and I think he expects himself to be able to make an impact here, and he's going to have to.
All right, so Chris, let's lock in on Higgins a little bit. And can we expect to see the James Higgins, Porter Martone show when we get to Ottawa? Because you just spent, you know, a few minutes talking about how important Higgins is going to be. You know, it can Martone have that same kind of impact for Canada? Is he going to have the same kind of a commensurate role, I would assume, on the wing for Canada?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think in the early stages, the jury's still out in terms of where exactly he's going to fit into the lineup. I mean, you think that it's going to be top six, top nine, and the thing is that, you know, the amount of ice time that James Higgins is going to get, I think, is going to significantly propel him into this more opportunistic kind of situation where he's playing a ton more than Martone is. That's typically been the case with Canada. We've seen them use their younger players in lower roles as opposed to really thrusting them, except for Macklin Celebrini last year, who was so far and away their best player. You know, so I think that'll be really interesting to watch and to see in terms of what ultimately happens between those two. And you know, I know we're going to talk about him as well, but you know, I think that I'm just as compelled by the Matthew Schaefer versus James Higgins dynamic and different things like that. But I you know, I think in terms of opportunity, Higgins is probably going to have more opportunity than, say, a Porter Martone is. I think Higgins is much more important to USA than Martone is to Canada. The same might not be true for Schaefer. Schaefer could potentially be a top four defenseman for Canada, and if he is as an underager, that's a pretty significant role as well. So those are the interesting things that I think we'll be tracking. It's never really one-to-one, you know, one-on-one, how much would they actually be on the ice together, all those different things. But everybody's gonna treat it as a one versus one or a one versus two kind of situation here. And there's no doubt in my mind with those three guys, the conversation about the draft is really gonna hinge on whatever happens at this tournament. Who wins gold? Who is great? I mean, I go back to Kapokako versus Jack Hughes. Kapokako got a few over on him in there, but obviously now, you know, we see how things have played out over time, but that's the way it goes with the World Juniors. It's a high profile event.
Well, you mentioned, you know, the narrative there of Higgins and Martone, and absolutely in our role, we will escalate that as much as we can. But
Yeah.
you mentioned Matthew Schaefer. Could he end up being the best 2025 draft prospect at this tournament? I mean, look, we've seen him through the first, you know, couple of months here in Erie. We all got to watch the show he put on at the CHL USA Prospects Challenge, whether it's going end to end to score a goal or blocking a shot with no stick in one glove, and just his attitude and his approach and the way he plays the game, the person he is on and off the ice. Is this kind of, I hate to say, a coming out party for him, but potentially he could stake his claim to be the number one pick in the draft here.
Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. And for the larger, you know, the spotlight is brightest at the World Juniors, especially on these draft prospects. They'll be covered. You know, they're easy to find too. They're the ones wearing the cages, you know, so they're easy to see. You know, as at least some of them will be. And not actually, Higgins won't have to wear it because he's a late birth date. And so same with Martone, but Schaefer will be wearing a cage. And you know, so with that, you know, with a guy like him, It's most people, if they hadn't seen the CHL USA prospects game, if they don't follow the OHL closely, they may not know just how good this player is. And this will be his opportunity to prove it. Not only because he's playing, but he's playing for Canada as an underager. And if he does take a top four role, as we think he could for this team, if he does become one of their primary defensemen, if he edges out guys like Sam Dickinson and others that were very high draft picks to be whatever on power play two, power play one, whatever he ends up as, that's a pretty significant indication of just how much there's a belief in him right now. The thing about Matthew Schaefer is that he's really seems to only be scratching the surface. He is going to be one of the youngest players in this draft class. He was born 10 days before the cutoff. And so, that's an opportunity for him to show that he is this upside and this runway that he has is a separating factor for the number one pick. And so, I've said this on multiple platforms on our podcast at Flow, the Called Up Prospects podcast, and then I just said it on another podcast, but like you look at Matthew Schaefer and you say, of him, Martone, Hagans, I can't tell you, the forwards, if they will definitely be, a number one center, a number one wing. I can't tell you that Matthew Schaefer is definitely going to be a number one defenseman, but how they have all played this season and the upside that you think Schaefer has, I think there is potential for him to be a number one defenseman in the NHL. And if that's the case, that puts him in the driver's seat to potentially unseat these wingers. And I think that conversation is really going to reach its fever pitch if he has a good World Juniors. And it might not be, that might be, as far as the conversation goes and what people are talking about, it's not going to be the same in scouting circles. That maybe that's just so, that's it takes over everything. And then everybody's just like, he's the number one pick from here on out. We've seen that happen plenty of times before after the World Juniors, where it seemed like consensus was reached after the tournament.
Yeah, in the pre-tournament game against Switzerland, and Canada had Martone on a line with center Berkeley Catton and left wing Carson Rykoff, his teammate in Brampton. So you had power, speed, strength on that line. And Coach Cameron had Schaefer paired with Bo Aki, the Edmonton Oilers prospect. So yeah, two very nimble, good skaters, capable of a quick transition there. So it'll be interesting how it all plays out, Chris, because when I look at Canada's roster, I see a hard, tough, skill team, much like the U.S. Hagans or Schaefer, number one. I mean, those are my two that I'm looking at right now for the 25 draft. It'll be interesting. Do you want a no-frills Jack Hughes? Do you want a no-frills Cale Makar? It's going to be a tough call. It might even come down to team needs at the top. So we'll see. But
Absolutely.
yeah, switching gears here to Sweden's entry over in Group B, and right wing Viktor Eklund, projected to go relatively high in the 25 draft. What are you seeing out of Eklund, Chris, since our viewings at the World Junior Summer Showcased in August?
Well, I mean, I think I'm seeing a player that is completely comfortable in pro hockey. I think that's one of the things that is a standout about his season. He's played primarily in the Allsvenskan this year with Djurgården. He's got 15 points. He has 8 goals. I mean, like he has become a bit more of a force. He's a strong player. I think he's starting to get physically mature. He's starting to physically mature more as he gets even stronger. I think there's an opportunity for him to become, not a power winger. He doesn't have the size to be a power winger, but more just like a guy that's really difficult to play against and hard to knock off the puck, and just a guy that'll make those plays as well. So I think that that's going to be really interesting to kind of track in terms of where he slots into their lineup. I think that, Sweden's forward depth this year is not as good as it has been in years past. And so it elevates players like Eklund to be a much more important player for them. Last year he was a very important player for them at the World Under 18 Championship. That Swedish team really struggled at that tournament, but he was a bright spot for that team. He's played internationally. We saw him at the Summer Showcase. He more than held his own there. We've seen him at other events, like he was at the World Junior A Challenge last year. He was at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup that last year as well. And he's always been kind of a reliable guy. The way he's playing right now in Sweden, like you think about all the conversation was about Anton Fröndell, who also plays at Djurgården. And really that conversation has flipped more to maybe it's Viktor Eklund that is the top Swedish prospect for this draft. And he certainly played like it so far. And I think he's going to be a very important forward for Sweden at this tournament.
So, Chris, I want to turn back to the U.S. for a sec, and we talked a lot about Matthew Schaefer and what he's capable of accomplishing. Are we overlooking the U.S. defenseman for this year's draft, Logan Hensler? Big, strong kid, 18-year-old freshman playing well at University of Wisconsin, potential top 20 pick. Now he's on the world junior team. How big of a role do you think he's going to have at the tournament?
Yeah, honestly, as I look at Team USA's blue line, I'm really not sure who's gonna play where. So in terms of we all know Ziv Bouyim's gonna be the number one defenseman. After that is anyone's guess. EJ Emery got cut, another right shot guy. He's a first round draft pick. Hensler in that spot, does he move? Where is he slot in? Where is Aaron Minettian going to play? Where is Adam Kleber going to play? Those are some of the questions that we think will be answered in the pre-tournament as Team USA starts that here as we're recording. And so we don't have a firm idea. That said, Hensler's inclusion on this team, I think, is indicative of the belief that they have in him. He's a good skater. He's good defensively. His numbers haven't been amazing in terms of the offensive attack, but he moves pucks decently well. He's shown flashes of more offensive ability. This is going to be a very interesting one. I was very surprised to see Emery left off the roster, but I think it speaks to how they feel about guys like Hensler to fill into that si similar role. And obviously, he's played for this first half of the season under Mike Hastings, that a guy that really preaches and hampers down on his defensemen to really protect the net and to protect the front. And I think that that's something that Hensler can do. In terms of being overlooked, I think that he's probably been more rated appropriately this year. The offense hasn't really been amazing, and so I think that players like him, it's hard if they're not putting up the numbers as we see guys like Schaefer do, and as we saw Ziv Bouyim do last year, and Dickinson and Parekh and the like. It's really hard for those guys to go really high in the draft. Now, I still think he has first round upside. I think he's a tremendous athlete. I think he's a good skater. I think that he does a lot of things really well. But in terms of like, I don't think he's necessarily being overlooked, but he's probably being maybe a little bit undersold at times. But I do think that he has a chance here. We'll see exactly where he slots in. I think there's a lot up in the air about how Team USA's blue line is ultimately going to look.
Yeah, speaking with Hensler at the select camp in Plymouth earlier this week, Chris, he told me he's been doing a lot of video work with Coach Mike Hastings at the U, looking to improve his overall defensive game, and that was pretty evident in camp. I agree with you. I'm not sure how much ice time he'll get, but he'll be a valuable piece when called upon for sure. I want to talk goalies here, Chris. It seems like every year we're debating if Canada has what it needs in the crease to win a gold. I like Carter George, Carson Bjarnason as number one, two in this lineup. But I wanted to talk about that number three spot, which is intriguing because you have a draft eligible there. So were you surprised at all in Canada's selection of Jack Ivankovic of Brampton ahead of Josh Ravensbergen of Prince George as that number three keeper on the roster? And which of the two do you like more?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that this is a really good discussion point about how the World Juniors is different than the NHL draft. And so when we talk about the World Juniors, it's about what can you do right now. And I think in the case of Joshua Ravensbergen, in my mind, is by far the better NHL prospect than Jack Ivankovic. And it's not a slight, Ivankovic's a tremendous junior goalie. There's a significant size differential, which matters in the NHL. Just does. It just simply does. And you've got, Ravensbergen, who's 6'5", and you've got Ivankovic, who's, 5'11"-ish, somewhere in there, which is tough for those goalies to make it. But one thing, it didn't surprise me that they took him for this roster for a couple of reasons. Number one, he was outstanding at the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup. I think he won a lot of fans there. Number two, you talk to a lot of the players at the CHL Top Prospects game, who's been one of the toughest goalies you've faced. A lot of them are going to put it on him. They also talk about how good of a teammate he is, and I think that's really important. If you're going to be the number three goalie, because we think he's going to be the number three goalie here, you have to be a good teammate. You have to accept your role. You have to understand where you're at. Being on the team is a great accomplishment. You're going to get learn a lot. You're going to be in practice with these guys every day. You're going to do a lot of good things. And maybe as you keep moving forward, you have a chance to make it. I think Ivan Kovac is going to get drafted as an undersized goalie. I think that there's a lot of fans of him. It's about upside, and the thing is if you look between the two goalies right now in terms of how they played throughout the season and how they played at, Ravensbergen was the better of the two at the CHL Top Prospects, CHL USA Prospects game. But, over the course of the full season, I think that you could say that Ivan Kovac might actually be the better of the two in terms of, their numbers are very similar. They play in different leagues. There's a lot of different things that kind of go on. But Ivan Kovac has a little bit more predictability to him. The other thing that I thought that went against Ravensbergen, unfortunately for him, is that he went to the World Junior Summer Showcase and did not perform. And so I think that for especially when you have a lot of scouts that are from the O or a lot of coaches that are in the OHL currently on their staff, they're not going to get as many looks at you. And that was a big opportunity missed, I think, for him. It stinks that it happened in the summer, but either way, I think there's no doubt in my mind Ravensbergen is going to be the first of those two goalies drafted. It didn't shock me that Ivan Kovac ended up getting on this team because I know how much respect he has garnered from that Hlinka-Gretzky Cup performance that he had in the summer, and also the reputation he has among his teammates.
And he was the third goalie at the under 18s last spring, and kind of understands what that role is, maybe more so to your point than Ravensbergen might.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to change gears. I know we're going to talk a lot about Gavin McKenna next year when he's eligible for the 2026 draft, but here he is now, youngest player on the roster, a double underager. The last one to do it was Connor Bedard at the 22 World Juniors when we kind of convened in the summer in that weird kind of time. He had 8 points in seven games then. Can you compare where McKenna is right now to where Bedard was then? Is it a fair comparison? Can you kind of see similarities? And then, what can we expect from Gavin McKenna at the World Juniors this year?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by basically where McKenna, like I think that they've kind of had him starting down the lineup a little bit, and I think that he's probably going to steal a job at some point up in the top six. I mean, the thing is he has game-changing speed. He is different from Connor Bedard in that way. Bedard has game-changing goal-scoring ability, and when we saw that even when he was younger. And saw what he can do. But I was at the World Under 18s last year, and Gavin McKenna was so much better than most of the players I've seen at that age at that time. He took over games, and I think that that's something that, he can do at the World Juniors. Now, Canada and the US, they have Finland in their bracket that, so there's basically two games that we're going to learn a lot about those teams. Otherwise, Germany and Latvia, good luck to them. But I would say that the more McKenna gets going, the more opportunity he's given, the more he's going to play better than he's just going to be better. He's leading the WHL in scoring right now. He is one of the best junior hockey players that we've seen in the last couple of years. His numbers are comparable to Bedard. He plays a different style than Connor Bedard. He's more of a pass first guy. He has the ability to score, but he beats defenders with his feet. He has skill. He has all this other stuff. And I just think that there's going to be he's going to they won't be able to deny him the ice time, essentially. I think that you try to lean on your guys, but when we looked at that under 18 worlds last year, and they pretty much gave him and Martone the reign of that team, even though they were among the youngest players on it. And I think that's going to happen again here. He's going to force their hand. So, Gavin, the interesting story coming about Gavin McKenna, as well, not just for this World Juniors, is what happens next year. As well, not just because of where he's at, but this is a slight tangent, but we've got this new CHL NCAA thing that I'm sure we'll talk about eventually someday, but he's gonna have a decision to make, and it's gonna be interesting to see, how this World Juniors, how the rest of his season goes, how that impacts his decision going forward. But I think if you are a US college hockey fan, pay special attention to that player during this tournament, because you might see him at some point next year.
You're starting a team right now. You're a GM. You can select either Bedard or McKenna. Who are you taking?
I mean, I think still at this point it still would be Bedard.
I'm with you. I'm the
But
same. Yep.
yeah, I you know, yeah, now throw Celebrini in the mix and we have a
Yeah,
very
yeah,
interesting
yeah.
discussion. But I'd say the different they play a different style, and the thing is I think that Bedard has a little bit more edge to him. Not that McKenna doesn't. He does. He gets it. He gets after it. But I think that goal scoring ability is such a separating factor. And I think McKenna just plays a different way. He's still so young, and there's still so much time to kind of figure out what he's going to be, how he's going to grow, where he's going to end up. But I at this point, I'd stick with Bedard. It's a great question. It's a great debate because you look at what Gavin McKenna has done and the numbers that he's putting up right now, very comparable.
Yeah.
And so I think we're looking at probably the best player in Canadian junior hockey right now at that age, not just at that age, but just period. So that's a big accomplishment for a player that young.
I still think we haven't seen the NHL ceiling for Bedard yet, and
Agreed.
I think we're waiting to see that as well. Bedard was just so special a player, one of the best I've ever scouted and viewed, entering his draft year. So we'll see how that all plays out. All right. CP, prediction time. Prediction time here, buddy.
All right,
Give
here
me
we go.
one under the radar player from each of the big four. It doesn't have to be a draft eligible, but we're talking Finland, Sweden, Canada, and US. Go.
Yeah, under the radar players. So let's start with Canada. And I think a guy that is going to play a significant role on this team that maybe isn't as well known to the hockey public is going to be Tanner Molandijk. Great skating defenseman. I think he's probably going to play a lot on their power play. He was supposed to be on the team last year, got hurt. I think when you have a guy that's hungry, that's you're going to want that guy with you, and you're going to want him to do what he can do. And I think he's a competitor, and he'll be interesting. So I'd say he's under the radar and a player that certainly should be watched closely. I think on Sweden, I don't think he's really under the radar, but I think that he is, he's a first round draft pick, but I feel like, he kind of gets undersold sometimes, and that's Otto Stenberg. I think he's going to have a huge tournament here. St. Louis Blues draft pick. I think he's going to be a leader for them. He's going to do a lot of things that are really helpful to their team. And I think that's going to be a big factor. For Finland, I would have to go with Kasper Halttunen. I think that he's a big time scorer. He's a big body. He's played in the AHL this year. They sent him back to junior, but he's gotten that taste of pro hockey. I think that helps. I think that helps in these environments, and so I think that'll be good. And then for Team USA, I mean, I think there's a lot of different guys that you could look at because I really think, weirdly, Mike, you look at the team last year and you say, okay, there's so many superstars on this team. I feel like there's a lot of guys that are kind of under the radar. So the guy that I think will be the most important under the radar player for them is a returning player from last year, but it's Drew Fortescue because I think he's going to play a lot on the blue line. He's not a very offensive guy, but he is going to be a very critical player. So he can play on both sides. He can give you a little bit of a different look. He can potentially be like, if you want to have Ziv Bouyum run a little bit more, you can have him be the kind of more conservative defenseman to give a little balance. But those are guys that, they might not be the big name prospects, but you need those players to win. I think Drew Fortescue in particular is a guy that they absolutely need to win. He's a Rangers prospect. He is, he's one of my favorite stories from the draft because the Rangers traded up one pick in the mid rounds to get him. I don't know that I'd ever seen that before, where it was like, I need to get up one pick to get this one guy. It was an interesting trade, but either way, I think it was fun. I'll have to get the story behind that someday. But Drew Fortescue is a guy that I think will play a lot of minutes for Team USA.
It's interesting. I was on a different podcast, and when you were talking about Fortescue, he's a little bit like Brian Dumoulin was for Chris Letang when Pittsburgh was winning cups in 16 and 17. You need a guy like that to let your top end offensive guy go in range and do what he does. And maybe that's Ziv Bouyum this year at the tournament. Drew Fortescue can be, the defensive consciousness there. So
Yeah, And that, you know, he can. And the other amazing thing about that is you the way that Zeev has improved defensively, you put both of those guys, they could be your shutdown pairing, just the two of them. Like, I mean, that's the amazing thing, is that versatility that you have with those top guys. And yeah, but I think you're exactly right. You want a guy that gives the other defenseman a little freedom to take some risks, because you have to at this event. And that's also the times where it can really burn you. So if you need to have that safety blanket there, or safety net with you.
All right, so I'm going to make you do a prediction now. Give me your gold, silver, bronze medals. Who's standing on the platform January 5th in Ottawa?
Yeah, well, I feel like this could change like every day, but I hope it doesn't. But you know, I think you know, for me, the biggest thing, I look at Team USA and I say they have the goaltender, they have the number one defenseman, they have the top line. I think that is the combination that other teams are seeking and don't have, and I think that will be a difference maker. I think Ryan Leonard's going to be one of the best players in this tournament. Very po possibly could be an MVP of this tournament. Trey Augustine is far and away the best goalie on paper, and then Zeev Bouyum is probably one of the best defensemen here. So I'm going USA for gold. It's a homer pick, I guess, but I mean, I usually try to pick against them because I know where, you know, I know where all the holes are, and there are more holes this year than there were last year. I can tell that, you know, just looking at the roster, I feel like there is some doubt about, you know, how strong is this team and will they be able to go back to back? It's never happened before. And then you think you win in Sweden, you beat Sweden in Sweden last year for gold. Can you beat Canada in Canada for gold this year? I think it'd be a pretty amazing double if it happens. But I also think that I believe in the coaching staff as well. You know, David Carl is a proven winner. Silver goes to Canada, which means I'm desperately hoping for a USA Canada gold medal game. I don't think New Year's Eve is going to be enough to satisfy that itch. But I think you look at that team on paper, I think they are the best team on paper. Goaltending is good. It's not elite, I don't think. It's good. The defense, again, I think it's not elite. It's good. The forward group, I think, is elite. And so I think that there's a lot to like there. We had a lot of conversations about, you know, among prospects, people, and whoever else, about did Canada make the right decisions on their roster? Did they overthink some things, or do they have enough offense from the back end? All those different things. But I do think that they're a silver medal contender. And then I'm going to go with my dark horse for bronze, and that's going to be Czech. The Czechs. I'm going to go with the Czechs. I don't think they have the scoring this year to hang with the big guys, but they do have the goaltending. And that's the thing, is like, it is completely contingent on Michael Hrabal playing well enough to steal games. And when he's at his best, he can do that. So I'm going USA. So it's basically, you got USA, Canada, and the Czechs. Although it's really, 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 really hard for me to pick against Sweden, because I think that roster is very good too.
Well, you stole my thunder there too, Chris. It's because I had Czech at three, at number three as well. I got U.S., I got Canada, and I got the bronze. It's very quietly, Czech has medaled the past two tournaments. So, and yes, I agree. They got the goaltending there, and they've got quite a few returnees from last year as well, and the team did pretty well last year. So, Chris, great stuff as always. Looking forward to seeing you and the Mike Big Red at the World Junior in Ottawa. On a personal note, Chris, you've done outstanding work, and it's amazing to me how far you've come since the NTDP days, and now as a content manager at Flow Hockey. I urge fans of NHL Draft Class to please check out Chris's new pod called Up, the Hockey Prospects Podcast. That's available on all platforms. Chris Peters and EP's content director, Cam Robinson, co-host the pod. Chris, maybe you can just tell fans what the discussion entailed on the last Evergreen episode, and maybe share with us what's coming up.
Yeah, you know, a lot of draft discussion, a lot of these prospects, and a lot of discussion about drafted prospects, guys that are in the AHL, guys that are in college, you know. So trying to make sure that fans know what the next wave is going to look like. And yeah, we're just basically trying to copy you guys. But you know, I think, no, a lot of different things. We're gonna have a big World Junior preview as well, going team by team and different things like that. And maybe my predictions will change on that episode. You'll have to tune in to find out. But it's been a lot of fun. It's great to do it with Cam, who's obviously a guy that just has been covering the draft in the space for a long time. And we have very different opinions about things. And so I think that that's going to be fun to get more into the debate and different things. But I appreciate the chance to plug it because it is a lot of fun. Called up the Hockey Prospects podcast across platforms, and we're only two episodes in, so you know, like we're just getting warmed up. So yeah, but I think, you know, it's great to be with you guys. Obviously, I've known you guys for years, and we're always at the same events, and we're always doing a lot of the same things. And it's really fun to do this job, and the people are what make it great. And I would include the two of you, even you, Kimmelman, in the mix here. But yeah, but you know, this is what for what we all do. This is it does not get better than this. You have the draft and the World Juniors. They're the two biggest things in our world. And I mean, I'm so excited to see what happens in Ottawa. I think the atmosphere is going to be incredible. And man, you know, I appreciate both you guys. You guys keep me honest on the road too, especially Mike. And yeah, but it's a lot of fun to cover these events. And yeah, definitely check out what we're doing at Flow Hockey. We're going to have three people on site this year. We're going to be really trying to blow out the coverage as best we can. And you know, we probably collectively can't work as hard as the two of you guys will, but we're certainly going to try.
Sadly, I'm only here for my charm and good looks, and this is audio, so people are losing out half the best part.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks for all you do and for joining us on NHL Draft Class this week.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Happy holidays, and thanks so much for having me.
Mike, we heard Chris's predictions. We kind of got into it a little bit there at the end, but who's your pick? Who's coming home with the gold medal?
Yeah, and like I said to Chris, he kind of stole my thunder. So I have the U.S. Winning goal. It's just from top to bottom, I just love the team. And Chris made mention of this, or he alluded to it, was the fact that, you know, Trey Augustine, this will be his third World Juniors, right, Adam? And he was fantastic last year for the United States. Goes to Michigan State, was drafted by the Detroit Red Wings in the second round a couple of years ago. So this is a player that is dominant. I think when you have the goaltending, it's the equalizers, every other facet of this game. So give me Trey Augustine in net. Zeev Bouyim is another one coming over, University of Denver, selected by the Minnesota Wild, you know, last year. I like him as a leader along the blue line. And what can you say about the offense? I mean, you're going to have James Hagans, the 25 eligible, who many believe or feel that he could go number one in the draft alongside Gabe Perreault and Ryan Leonard. Yeah, I just think it's a really deep team. I like Canada coming in, winning the silver. If we are fortunate, I mean, from an American point of view, if we are fortunate enough to see the U.S. and Canada play in the gold medal game in Ottawa, Adam, that would be fantastic. And then I do like Czechia to win that bronze. A decent amount of experience will be back in Ottawa, and they've medaled the past two tournaments. Chris alluded to Michael Hrabal, the Utah Hockey Club prospecting goal. He helped check to a bronze medal last year. Sophomore this year at the University of Massachusetts, has been real great there for them. Good size. I like Czechia, but you know, Sweden and Finland, let's see what they do. Finland's going to give the US and Canada fits in that Group A field, and obviously Sweden is going to try to run the table in Group B. How about you?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I agree with the U.S. having, you know, I don't know if they have the best forward. I think there's a really deep forward group here.
Yeah.
I certainly think I agree with you on Augustine. I certainly agree with you on Bouyim. To me, last year's draft, he was the number two defenseman after Artem Levchinov. The fact that he was still there at number 12 for Minnesota, still surprising, because I think, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to be seeing Bouyim and Faber on the ice 40 minutes a night, those two guys for the Wild. But a team I'm really excited about is Finland. And I don't know where they're going to finish, but I look at what they're bringing as far as the scoring possibilities. I'm a huge Konsta Hellenius fan. I think he's having a real nice year in Rochester playing against men in the American League. He looks like he's going to be a really good player. Kumpalainen is a good player. You know, Chris mentioned Haltonen, who's already playing in the American League. He's back in London in the Ontario League now. You know, Julius Miettinen, the Seattle prospect, is a really good player. Heikki Ruohonen, who's playing in Dubuque in the U.S. Hockey League, a Flyers prospect. Big, physical, strong kid. You know, I don't know if they're going to have enough on the back end or in goal, but I think Finland has a chance to really be a surprise team, maybe even more so than Czechia, because they seem to be everybody's favorite dark horse. And I'm a huge Michael Rabl fan. I think he was great last year at the tournament. I think he's got a chance to be a really good goalie again this year. But it's going to be fun. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to be talking about a repeat United States gold medal.
Yeah, I like that Finland pick for the bronze. There was another player too, Adam. Kyle Kangas, the defenseman for Finland. Big, strong, mobile. I really liked him at the World Junior Summer Showcase. Intimidating back there. I believe it was a 7th-round pick of the Penguins. So he still has that on his mind too, that he was passed over and over in that draft when I spoke to him at Summer Showcase. Big, rangy player. Has a lot of snarl to his game. So we'll see how that pans out at World Juniors, because we know they always kind of call it close to the vest. But it's going to be a great tournament, Adam. Can't wait.
It is. It kicks off on December 26th. It runs right through January 5th. All games will be available on NHL Network in the United States, TSN in Canada. And, Mike, you and I will be on site.
Yes, sir.
For the entire tournament. I get in on the 26th. You get in on the 27th. So we will have wall-to-wall coverage at NHL.com. And I'm sure it will be an NHL draft class episode or two coming out of World Juniors.
And we'll have plenty of coffee to drink too, Adam. That's for sure.
Absolutely. The good Canadian kind. Tim Hortons.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to love that for 12 days. But you will have to watch on TV unless you're lucky enough to live in Canada and come to Ottawa. Definitely come up to the tournament if you have a chance. But for now, NHL draft class is dismissed.